Okay, this is Kelly Thomas interviewing Danielle Preston and Marcus Preston. First question we'll do Danielle. Where and when were you born?
I was born August 21st, 1979 in Roanoke, Virginia at Roanoke Memorial Hospital.
Okay. And Marcus?
I was born October 9th, 1975 here in Roanoke, Virginia.
And where were you born?
Roanoke, Virginia.
What hospital?
Oh, Roanoke Memorial.
Same one?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how long have you all lived in the Roanoke or Salem area?
All my life.
Basically all our life.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you want to talk maybe about some of the, I guess, the streets that you lived on or some of the areas that you lived in?
My recollection of, as a child, one of the first places is Pittsfield Circle. Where I lived there with my grandmother and my father and my mother, and remembering some of the big houses in that area that look historic now, mm-hmm. that, you know, now that you're older, some of the people that you remember on the street. And later on Nancy Drive and Cherry Hill, which is kind of closer to Salem, Virginia, where the floods, was it 86?
85.
Flood of 85 was mm-hmm. just below where we lived. Mm. And I remember it just like being a dark day. That's one of the things I recollect from being, I think I was about 5 or 6, 7. Mm-hmm. I was born in 79, in that area. And then later on, bouncing between Salem and Roanoke, in between, Salem Turnpike was about the last place as far as like decades of my life where I grew up and mm-hmm. like history and seeing different types of graveyards in that area where Salem Turnpike is and the little creek that's over behind there and some other houses that were there that are not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a few places, you know, I remember living as a child.
And you said you grew up with your grandmother?
Yeah.
Do you have any stories or memories of your grandmother?
Well, my father's mother, which was my grandmother, she died while I was 8 or 9, Grandma June was about 8 or 9. And I do remember her having family over all the time. Even on the weekends, we always had family, great aunts and uncles that would have little card parties and things like that. And they'd have us dancing for money and stuff and just performing, have all the kids performing. I do remember a time around Halloween where me and my cousin would play a record. And Marcus, I believe he was there too. We would listen to Thriller, Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Uh-huh.
And when Vincent Price started talking, we all would run and hide till it was over with. Those were some of the things like that our family would do and have fun. Everything was kind of magical. Even my father would tell us so many stories that either scared us, you know, making toys move. I don't know how he did it to this day. Or just making it seem so magical in the neighborhood. And even like the small neck of the woods that would be down the street was very adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
And I, it was just a whole another world, each place that we lived at. And my grandmother, she let us have fun, but she always made sure that we stayed off her flowers and away from like the cars and stuff like that. And I had a very, very vivid childhood. It was different. It was fun. And then she passed, and you know, as we got older and moved to another part of the neighborhood, where I think that's when it was middle school and high school from then on.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to add something to that, Marcus? What are some of your recollections?
I mostly remember growing up in Salem. It used to be Old Water Street and White Oak, and they had this park called Longwood Park, mm-hmm. and had an old cemetery. We used to play over in there, and Salem is full of alleys, and I remember going by, and me and my friends and cousins think we see people. They had old big Victorian homes on right where Longwood is at, and right there, what's that street? Chapman mm-hmm. Avenue.
Yeah.
And Chapman Street is, the whole street is just full of old Victorian homes, and the way the house made, you don't know if somebody's there or somebody's looking out the window or not. But Salem was really fun to me. We used to go on Catawba Mountain. My Uncle Chuck used to take us up there and get chicken feed, and we'd come back down there. And Salem, on every street around that neighborhood, we had a relative.
Yeah.
My Uncle Chuck lived on White Oak Street. My grandma lived on Water Street. My Aunt Flinney, she lived on Chapman. Yeah. I mean, everybody was just a tight-knit, close community. I mean, and Salem was just a bunch of alleys. I mean, it's still old, and it's not been, you know, modernized, where you have brand-new streets and stuff. We played in the creek and played with crayfish and stuff like that, and we had a community center on Water Street also. Yeah. It was called the Center. Mm-hmm. Had a basketball goal, and a full court outside, and then in the center they had a pool hall, then you had a playground, and then right across from there where everybody used to go to, it was the fire station. Mm-hmm. The old fire station. It's been remodeled now, but we all used to go there and get something to eat and drink, and then right beside the fire station you had, it's an old pharmacy called Brooks and Bird, where you still can go get old limeades and lemonades where they make them out of fresh lemons.
Oh, it's still there now?
Yeah, it's still there
and
now.
And the pharmacist that was there from a long time ago, he's still there.
Since the 80s, where after the weekend, the late 80s, where, you know, far back as I can remember.
Yeah.
But Salem was a pretty fun time, magical time for me. But then as I moved to Roanoke, I, you know, started going to middle school and things like that. Didn't play too much around in the street stuff. Played a lot of sports. Mm-hmm. But I remember going to Old Rugby, and they have these statues.
On the end of Rugby Street?
On the end of Rugby Street. Uh-huh. And still to this day, I don't know what they are, what they meant, or what they represented. I don't know if an old house is there or not, but it would just capture my mind every time I passed by there.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going downtown to, they used to have this one place downtown called the, what was that place called? I can't remember what that place was called. It's right across from Corned Beef and Company. The Star City Diner.
The Silver Diner.
That's what it was, when it had all those old pictures and all the people that that came and visited Roanoke, President Roosevelt and all those type of things. But
I used to get excited about going downtown to... what's his name? Steve Hot Dogs?
Steve's still here,
As a child, and going down to the market to get vegetables, it was always exciting, you know, to do that.
Yeah, but other than that, as far as the Roanoke part, the store always amazed me also. When we had field trips to go to the store, and they show you where the old trolleys used to go up to the store, and that still amazes me here today. But
That hasn't changed at all.
Not at all.
Now, you all are brother and sister, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you all have any other brothers and sisters? Or?
I have a younger sister.
Younger sister?
Yeah.
Okay. Are they living nearby, or any extended family members still in the area?
Yeah, she lives in Salem. Yeah, she lives in Salem.
Mm-hmm. Any other relatives live in the Roanoke area?
Well,
most
of our family lives...
Aunts and uncles, my father's side predominantly lives in Roanoke, and then my mother's side predominantly lives in Salem.
Yeah.
So you have both.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I guess we'll talk about Roanoke. Your first home in Roanoke, do y'all remember what it looked like?
I remember.
Where was it located, I guess, too?
Northwest Pittsfield Circle is right off of Hirschberger. Is that Cove Road?
Yeah.
Cove Road and Hirschberger.
Yeah.
Well, when we moved there, when my grandma moved there, it was been modernized. It was a new neighborhood being built there on Pittsfield Circle. I remember that. Other than that, Cherry Hill was our next. That's kind of near the border between Salem and Roanoke.
Right.
Okay. Is it on the Roanoke side?
Yeah, it's on the Roanoke side.
Well, the house in, was it Pittsfield Circle?
Uh-huh.
What did that look like? Was it a new house or at the time?
You know what? At the time in the 70s, it's a new house.
Yeah.
So in the 80s, I guess it still was a new house. Two-story home, you know.
It neighborhood hasn't been remodeled either.
No, it has the neighborhood still fairly... nice. A lot of the coaches and teachers that teach at William Fleming and Ruffner predominantly lives in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Forest Park. It's Forest Park, Kershaw, Pittsfield Circle, and what else? Forest Park, Kershaw,
Pittsfield Circle, and off of Peters Creek. What is it?
What is Aspen, Mountain Air, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you go move up to Lafayette and mm-hmm. so forth.
Okay. Now, as kids, I know you were talking about Salem and kind of having that magical childhood. What other activities did y'all participate in? Like any school sports or?
Yeah, well, I participated in all the school sports. I did just about every wrestled, played football, played baseball 1 year, played basketball. I mean, I fully participated in sports coming up.
Well, my favorite went to Westside. I was in the magnet school, magnet program, which is, I think switched off to a different school. And I played violin. I was exposed to so many different activities, drama. We rarely was in school. We were always performing either at the airport, the malls, other schools, and then I was in ballet. On up to my first year in high school. It wasn't just ballet, it was dance class where it was modern dancing. Mm-hmm. I think they call that, what kind of dancing do they call it now? It's a dance where you roll back your tights and you're barefoot. And then we had jazz where we dance with the Spanish shoes, it's like a heel. Mm-hmm. And then we had ballet. And throughout, you know, all my life since elementary school to middle school and went to William Ruffner, I stuck with that and, you know, just performed everywhere. And it was just, that was a magical thing for me. That was a passion for me until I got older and basically couldn't dance. I wanted to go to Alex Haley's School of Dance, I think it's called, in Harlem, but I was overweight. So it kind of messed up my dream, but it was fun while it lasted because it was just something so creative that I'm glad they brought to that school, that school system where it was Westside, William Ruffner, and William Fleming. They had that magnet program. So as a child, I was always performing on the weekends. You know, mom have to get your tights, your leotards, your dance shoes, and, you know, it was just fun. And now my daughter is an art school now, is dancing there and having fun there too.
Okay. It does sound like a fun program. So not just behind the desk all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I played violin. I was exposed to so much and it still has, you know, stuck with me. Playing the violin, it was going to Monticello and playing with other kids for, you know, the older people, things like that. Going to different places, performance. It makes you, as you get older, understand that there's a whole lot more to life than just like your typical math, science, you know, ordinary subjects. And I really had fun and enjoyed that magnet program that allowed me to have those types of things.
Now, what kind of work did your family do?
My dad, he worked for Hotel Roanoke. I remember him working security at Hotel Roanoke, and he used to tell a lot of ghost stories about what went on at Hotel Roanoke, because he worked the graveyard shift at the time. Mm-hmm. From there, I think he worked GE, and he worked for Millen Rhodes. Uh-huh. That's an old, you know, company, but they're out of business now. But and from there, he's been at a Roanoke Electric Steel, but it's called Steel Dynamics. Now. That's an old company now.
That's fine. What was that street? The Old Miller?
Old Miller Street. Yeah, all
Old Miller,
Miller
Street.
Street. Yeah.
It used to be Miller Street.
Yeah,
and Miller Street. It's all behind there. It's the railroad tracks. And it goes, how far down does that go?
It goes down pretty far. They've got all of that plus the new street that they call Airway. Is it Airway?
Steel Drive.
Steel Drive and Airway Drive. They were, you know.
So behind these places that are old, you have a railroad that goes to another part of Virginia, all the way down where they're transporting steel.
It's
neat because when you go there, you see these apartments, and then further down the road, there's Steel Dynamics, used to be Roanoke Electric Steel, and all of that back up in there where you see deer.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the railroad tracks that stretch all the way to another part of Virginia, you never know what's back there.
Mm-hmm. So that's what your dad, now let me back up a little bit. Okay. Do y'all remember any good ghost stories from the Hotel Roanoke?
You know what? It got to a point to where I was like this. You know, he would be better telling those again, because it got to the point he could tell a ghost story.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, yes.
I guess if you live it.
Yeah, he could tell a ghost story, man. I'm telling you, he could tell a ghost story.
Okay. Well, now, we heard a little bit about your school life. What school did you go to?
Well, Lucy Addison, the old Lucy Addison Banana Seed, the NASA Aerospace School.
Okay. On Orange Avenue,
and I went to William Fleming. Yeah, I participated in all the sports at Lucy Addison and William Fleming. Played football under George Killemiller. Mm-hmm. I guess he's a legend in Roanoke, George Killemiller.
Oh,
and,
I'm not from here.
And Shirley Stewart. Lucy Addison was a good school, but it was a predominantly black school. To where I came from, I went to GW Carver and Salem, where it was mixed.
Yeah.
Then I went there, so I had to get adapt to
it's kind of a culture shock.
Yeah, then that kind of environment. But other than that, you know, I had fun at both schools. I mean, I wouldn't have went nowhere else. You know, I had a good experience there. They've had Lucy Addison was a real good school. You had small engines class, you had woodworking, small mechanics. And now they got the NASA Aerospace.
Yeah,
so, I mean, they also have a flight simulator now, NASA shuttle flight simulator now. So, I don't know what school has that, you know. So.
No, and this is kind of an aside, but it might be that school, but you can actually take aviation classes.
I think it is.
So,
yeah.
that blows my mind. But anyway, sorry, going off track there. So, how much schooling did you guys complete?
I graduated.
High school?
Yeah.
Okay.
My last year, I did drop out, and then I went back and got my GED, and then I later went on to complete a year at Virginia Western. I was a single mom of two children, and I worked full-time and was going to school full-time. It was kind of hard, so I had to make a decision, but I was able to catch up, and one of the not so smartest things to do is to drop out that late in school. You know, I have long, but you know, it kind of hurt. So like, it hurt really bad when I wasn't able to do dance anymore. I kind of was just drawn out. I really didn't have people that said, you know, it's okay, you can try something else. All I wanted to do was dance. But I later got over it and went back and finished what I had to finish, and you know, go on with my life.
1 year to go.
Yeah.
You know, they say hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
So life at home, what did y'all do for fun in the evenings? Like, what television shows did you watch? Or were you allowed to watch TV?
Well, me, I was a Transformers G.I. Joe fanatic. I mean, with the Transformers, G.I. Joe, Silverhawks, Thundercats, He-Man,
She-Ra.
I mean, now, when are y'all born? Because I'm watching the same show.
I mean, I was a fanatic with those cartoons. It got to a point to where when we did our chores, we earned money. So I saved my money and got my own TV. So I had gotten my Nintendo, my own TV, so I could pretty much watch whatever I want to watch in my room. But Danielle would, she would be in the living room or, you know, watching TV, whatever she watched. She liked those, what was the little babies called?
Which one? Munchie Cheese?
No, the little bubble baby that you named it, Bubbles.
I don't remember. Fraggle Rock?
No, the little babies used to have.
Cabbage?
No, it wasn't Cabbage Patch.
I did have the Cabbage Patch.
It was Bubbles or
That's
something.
What I was thinking.
I don't remember.
Not Rainbow Bright.
Yeah, because I had a Rainbow Bright. It's Strawberry Shortcake.
Yes, she had all those Rainbow Bright strawberries.
And he found me a Rainbow Bright.
Yeah, the old one.
Authentic Rainbow Bright. And she is not going anywhere in my closet. I had Gem Dolls. That was some of the cartoons that used to come. I remember Cartoon USA. It was a station that came on Channel 26.
Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Gem and the Holograms.
You know, and watching Captain Caveman after that. And, oh, man, so many different shows. The Cosby Show was one of our favorites. That was like a family time show.
Mm-hmm.
A Different World. There was a show called Amen that came on. And a show with a guy named Richard Dreyfuss. Those were Saturday shows.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what.
Richard, was that Dear John?
No, I remember Dear John too. But no, it was a show about a man. He was a doctor and he had two daughters. And I guess he was trying to fall in love. It came on after Amen. It was like the last show. Do remember Carol Burnett show. My grandmother, we used to sit and listen. Either it was that or my grandmother would listen to the Rolling Stones. I remember her listening to the Rolling Stones. We were exposed to so many different types of music, so many different types of shows. It was never one track. We were always diverse and versatile and raised up on so many different types of things to like and love, to even people-wise, mm-hmm. you know. We grew up around every different type of person you could name. And, you know, was never ever to see them as, you know, an item or what they looked like, just for who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's just so many different activities. Our family exposes us to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I know it wasn't all fun, so what kind of chores did y'all have to do?
Chores. That was the thing. We all had to participate in everything. If Dale didn't wash a dish, I'm not supposed to go by and watch that dish sit unclean.
Right.
I have to wash it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if my dad would test you, he would put a piece of paper down there and see if you would walk back. You're not supposed to pick it up. I mean, you know, it wasn't all fun. I mean, it was major chores.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was major, major chores. I had trash. Right about this time, it was leaves. I had to do the leaves. And that's like, it's like I never got the leaves done.
That was Cherry Hill.
I would never get the leaves done, man. I used to go in the house and act like I was about to faint. He paid me no mind. I still had to go out there and get those leaves, man.
Yeah, after he raked them, I went behind and I jumped in them.
Yeah.
I'd be reading the
book. Make my piles.
In a big pile of leaves.
Yeah.
After he leaves. And I think he may have gotten in trouble for it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I guess it looked like he didn't even rake them up.
But it got to a point to where we knew our chores. My dad didn't have to tell us. We get out, it's the first thing you do.
Right.
Even if you just took the trash out the day before, you make sure it ain't built it back up.
Right.
If the walls behind the trash isn't clean, you clean the wall behind the trash. There's no dishes in the sink. You don't go and complain about, I just washed the dishes, so what?
Mm-hmm.
The dishes in there now, you wash them now. The bathtub, I mean, from everything.
Stuff under your bed. You couldn't get away with that. A lot of kids do. They get the, you know, oh, my room's clean, bed all nice, dresser maybe even organized. But all that stuff up under the bed, if we had one item sticking out, that was it.
Yes, our daddy, he's a military man.
Okay.
So it's real stern and pretty much, he don't have to say. It got to a point to where he could show you which way to go with his eyes. Like, mm-hmm. that's the way you go. I mean, you know, if me and Danielle was at a table and, you know, playing rambunctious or whatever.
All they do is give you the look.
All they do is give you
the look.
And that was it. Or he did one time, what I remember, me and Danielle was like sitting across from each other. He was kicking, you know, you do the kick foot thing under the table. And all he did was slide his plate to the side like that. And that was it. And you knew what time it was from there, you know. But, we had plenty of chores to do. I mean, you know, it wasn't all just fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good for now because, you know, I keep my house clean.
And you understand that when you have children, you definitely understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you teach them the value of a dollar and the things that you do have. You understand now your parents work hard for that, so take care of it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if that is something that has followed you as far
core
as...
Core value.
Oh, yeah.
It's a core value.
Yeah.
It's definitely a core value as a mother or a father, anyone with children. You know, I wouldn't ever talk to my child like that. Never tell them to do that.
Now.
Right.
It's like, I just bought that jacket. I worked 80 hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, paycheck, and bought it and it's laying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a core value. You know, mm-hmm. it was a good thing.
Now, do you have any family stories that were passed down generation to generation? Like maybe about relatives you never met before, or? It doesn't even have to be that you didn't meet, just any stories that have gone down.
No.
Well, my dad, he's a storyteller.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he tells the story of over there in Booker T, Washington, of a man that used to sit in a tree. And I guess he'd be drinking or just not bothering anybody. And him and his friends one day, some guys were picking with him or something. And the guy that they were running after my father stood his ground for him, and he left him and ran. So the man fell out of the tree.
Oh, no.
He fell out of the tree and scared those guys away. And that's over near Booker T. Washington. He said it was a good friend of his father mm-hmm. who passed away. And I never was able to meet. But that's the only stories I really know about my grandfather. I think he was military, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a military man, too. And he had passed away before I met him. Did you meet him, Marcus?
No, I didn't get to meet him.
Well, that's one thing. Any family members in the military? So you mentioned your grandfather. Do you know mm-hmm. which war he served in, or if he served in a war?
It had to be World War II. Had to be World War II. My dad was in Vietnam, so.
And your dad in Vietnam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any family recipes or anything that have kind of made it down through the generations?
This is the recipe lady right
My
here.
My mother. Mm-hmm. Cook. I started cooking probably at the age of 11.
The two best things, potato salad and macaroni and cheese.
And I mean, but that's not what I started cooking. I started cooking breakfast food because my mom was working. My father, you know, Saturday sometimes he don't want me bothered. Mm-hmm. And it would be my brother and my cousins come over. So I started learning how to cook. I watched and analyzed. One of the dishes that has been passed down is lasagna.
Yeah.
And there were Saturdays, every Saturday, my mother would cook lasagna. Our cousins would bring over salads and breads, and I said, one of these days, I'm going to learn how to make that. Mm-hmm. Now I make it, and it's perfect. Macaroni and cheese is one of their favorites.
And potato salad.
And potato salad. It's all been passed down where my mother's aunt started with the potato salad.
Right.
She learned how to make it. My aunt Footney, who lives on... Is it Chapman?
She lives in Chapman.
Chapman
so.
Street. Any type of function, whether it was church or just neighborhood, she'd make the potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
Now my mother makes it. And, I mean, then my mother would make it, and now I'm making the potato salad, the baked macaroni.
I don't even want to know the recipe.
And I'm not. I do not tell any.
Be responsible.
Right.
I do not tell, you know, any recipes. And a lot of it comes from watching older women, you know, do things from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't measure anything.
No.
And that's the key to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
watching them. You're just sitting in awe looking like, are you going to measure that? And just crack open an egg or some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even the canned milk, they know just enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make it taste good. And it was, the only thing I haven't mastered yet is the pound cake.
Mm-hmm.
My mother will make
pound
cake.
Yeah,
and she doesn't measure anything, and it's just right. It's not dry.
Spongy. Oh man,
yes.
I don't want to talk about that.
A lot of those
oh, man.
It, you know, I come from watching the women in my family, and my father's a cheeseburger person.
Oh yeah,
and I took that from him. So when I make cheeseburgers, they're more like meatloaves.
Mm.
You can only
yes.
eat one.
Yeah, and when you go over a house, you already have some patty in the freezer. So when you take the little before, it just is ready to put in the pan. I mean,
seasoned
it's already seasoned and everything. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, now you mentioned your mom. Now, where did your mom work when you were growing up?
She had a few jobs. My mother, I remember working at. She was working. What was it? A Crossroads, behind Crossroads. Was it Zayers?
Zayers.
My mother worked in a deli sometimes. She was more home. She was more home, you know, with us, going with me to functions, going, you know,
yeah,
to see
my dad
play.
Was pretty much old-fashioned as far as that's concerned. He really didn't want her to get a job, but she did anyway.
Mm-hmm. She went to school.
Yeah.
She later furthered her education through TAP.
Okay.
And I think they had some type of office program.
Mm-hmm.
Clerical skills.
Clerical
something
skills.
Something like that, yeah,
mm-hmm.
when she graduated. Yeah.
But she, strong woman, she raised us and she did the best that she could.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, teaching core values. And she came from Salem, moved to Roanoke, where it was a culture shock again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, met my father. And they say he was the, you know, cool cat daddy type.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the shy, you know, big red afro
mm-hmm.
person.
Yeah.
Who, and he saw her and, you know. I guess they fell in love.
From there, yeah.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. Mm-hmm. I guess we're the history.
Yeah.
Now, what would be, and I guess I'll go Danielle first, your fondest childhood memory? And it can be of a holiday, a vacation, a gift, just one thing.
I would have to say what sticks with me the most and to this day, it would have to be one thing, and that's laying on my father's chest and listen to his heartbeat when it was just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my sister came, I never forget. I was so jealous. And my daddy said, "You're not the baby anymore." And the thought of me not being able to lay on his chest and listen to his heartbeat upset me. Now, my thing from day one was, when she come, I'm getting rid of her. I remember licking a book of stamps and sticking them on her on Massachusetts Avenue. That's somewhere else we live.
Yeah.
And stuck her outside because I thought they would be able to ship her to Japan. You know, I used to read these books, Beezus and Ramona and Fudge.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Beezus was trying to send her little sister off. That's a childhood memory that I will never forget, because I actually thought that down below was China or Japan and I could send her there. And my neighbor caught me and, you know, went back up in the house, but I thought I was going to get rid of her. And then he said, "That's your baby too." Mm-hmm. And so my father always found a way to make things easier on you or make you feel better about any type of situation.
Yeah.
Here, I'm not the baby anymore. Well, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
So he knew I was trying to get rid of her. He said, "That's your baby too." And from that day on, I've been close to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still like a child to me. But that was one of my fondest memories, because it just tickled me to death to read that in the book. Like, I can get rid of her now.
Cha-ching. Okay, how about
you? Well, one of my best and greatest of all fondest memories is growing up in Salem. Even when we lived in Roanoke, every weekend I wanted to go to Salem and stay with my Aunt Freddie. First of all, she could cook. Big breakfasts in the morning. I mean, fried apples, bacon, mm-hmm. I mean, cream of wheat, everything you want. But then Salem was just so fun to play, because everything was close together and there was so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as you ride your bikes, one cousin lived on one street, my other cousin lived on another street. And then you had Longwood Park was up the street. Then you had the center.
You could walk.
Then you walk. And then on some Saturdays up there, they used to have a rodeo, a fishing contest called the rodeo.
Mr. and Mrs. P.
Oh, and the rodeos were so fun, because that would be a family event that would last all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know. And then from there, Uncle Punkin. This is the name. This is the name.
Flitney.
That's my grandma's sister. My grandma's name is Bootsy.
Then
her brother was Chuck. And there was another called Big Train.
Yeah.
And then Dee Dee. There's another guy, Uncle, which is my grandma's
Uncle
brother.
Pete.
Uncle Pete.
He's in New York.
But all these people at that time lived right around in that area.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can get away with.
I mean, there's nothing you can get away with, but then you play in it. You had creeks. It was just so much to do. I mean, Saturdays it was full. You get up, you watch cartoons for a minute. Then there's my cousin. He's knocking on the door, get ready for me to come outside. I mean, you just. But I don't know if they ever went through this, but back then, my grandma and my friend, you had to come in and take a nap.
Yeah.
You have to come
take
a nap?
Yeah,
take a bath.
Then
and take a nap.
And then
you get back
so
out
much
play.
Dirt. Yeah.
Yes. Then you
and even at the end of the night, we took another one.
Yeah.
They kept us clean.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, to come in, take a bath, and take a nap. I mean, and I didn't understand, like, I'm going back out and play. Why do I got to take a bath?
You don't ask me a question.
But you run again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was one of my fondest memories, was growing up in Salem. That was fun.
Now, going back to the fishing rodeo, I was able to meet Mrs. Pig. It was Mr. and Mrs. Pig Roberts, I believe, or Robert Pig. Something associated with Pig. And she was sick. I was working at Roanoke Memorial Hospital. And, you know, she talked to, I always talk to people. I can talk to anyone.
She can. She can.
I can start a couple conversations.
We were in the stores. I'm like, come on, Dan, let's go. She fell off into a conversation. I'm like, oh, my God.
I love history, and I love,
oh,
people
man.
Could look at me and say, oh, you're a Wiley. You're from the Wiley family.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and then I'm curious now.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you know and how?
Mm-hmm.
But Mrs. Pig, she was so upset because before she left the hospital, you know, she always said she wanted someone to get that fishing rodeo back. And it's the old, what is it?
I don't know what it is.
Now, can you explain that to me, though? Because I'm not from here. So a fishing,
the fishing rodeo was on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Every, I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was every Saturday or Saturday month. Mm-hmm. You would get up early in the morning.
The first and the last month in the summertime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Predominantly for kids.
Yeah.
No one older than 13
okay.
could come and fish at the rodeo. It's predominantly kids. And
yeah.
the kid with the heaviest fish would win a trophy yeah. and stuff. But they
what's
had
that pond called?
I was like, where'd y'all fish?
It's in Salem. It's down West Main Street, and it's
right beside the Burger King.
There's a Burger King there now. Burger King wasn't there.
Yeah, Burger King was there. It was there. Yeah, okay. Burger King's been there. It's right beside. Is that West
Duck Main? Pond?
Yes, yeah, Duck Pond.
Okay.
Okay. I remember getting chased by little ducks, but she. But when I met her in this hospital, like I said, I struck up a conversation, and she said, "Did you used to fish in Salem at the little rodeo?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Sometimes I was the only girl. I am, well, at the time, I was the only girl
mm-hmm.
with yeah. my cousins. It was my brother and all the rest of them boys. And at times I would win. They did not like it. So I was explaining it to her, and it tickled her to death because she felt like no one would ever remember the fishing rodeo.
Right.
And she said, my dream would be for someone to start that back up. That's a piece of history
right.
because people from all over in those areas would come on those Saturdays and fish mm-hmm. at right. that duck pond.
Yeah.
So
that duck pond is predominantly old and Victorian. Right yeah. beside the duck pond, that whole side of the street is all Victorian
yeah.
homes.
Huge houses.
Yeah. And I love, one of these days I'm going to own a Victorian home. I mean, it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sight
over
and the look of
it. Over in Southwest, even, we've seen the older houses. Yeah, my brother right. just love collecting items, collectibles, mm-hmm. even looking at the houses and showing me some of them that were mansions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in times, and you can even look at the build of some of these houses. What's that? All up and down Walnut Avenue,
yeah.
where you could tell the house has not been modernized by the glass.
Right.
He taught
right.
me about the glass, by the way the doors look, the build of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much history throughout Roanoke and Salem that, I mean, you're able to see. Tell the difference, you know, what has been there and what's not, what's new.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I've kind of gone through all my questions, and a lot of these don't really pertain to, they pertain to a specific neighborhood, so mm-hmm. it looks like I skipped a few, just because they don't apply.
yes, all right.
But is there anything else that I didn't cover that you would like to share, that you can think of?
I think you pretty much covered it all.
Think
it,
we did
yeah.
all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you think of something, I can always turn it back on again.
Okay.
So.